Good morning and welcome to First Look. It is 8:15. It is a Thursday morning, October the 10th, and time for a regular visit that we have with County Supervisor Debbie Arnold. Hi, Debbie. How are you?
Hi, Andy. Good morning.
Always a pleasure to have you in.
Thank you so much. Love coming.
I always feel kind of bad because we don't have, there's so much going on in the morning show. You've been here for the last 10, 15 minutes, and we don't have time to talk about what we're going to talk about. So we always just kind of wing it when you get down in the chair.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, I just love to come and just chat and share with your listeners some of the things that are top of the mind with us.
Right. And again, this segment is not a call-in segment. We do have the KVC Stolberg Law text line open. So if you got something that you want to ask Debbie, you can always text in at 805-543-8830. It's not like Dave's show where we got an hour to talk about things. We have about 10 minutes to find out what's going on.
Right.
I know I always like to start off with something good.
Oh, yeah.
And I know your area is the North County. And North County, last week and this coming week, happy, happy times.
I call it celebration season in the North County.
It is.
And it's a beautiful time of the year. Last week, Atascadero was celebrating, you know, their signature event, Colony Days, and it was the 46th annual Colony Days celebration. So they've been not as long as Paso with their Pioneer Day, but Atascadero's been celebrating with different events and a parade. For example, last week, the Quota Colony Days Tea, I'll call it the old timers. I'm old enough to be included in that, in that category now. And where they named the royalty. And this year it was Bonnie and Jack Scott. So many people know them for their philanthropic work with Kiwanis and so many other organizations.
Right.
But a really fun, event. It's a Sunday afternoon event. It's tea and cookies, and a lot of the old timers from Atascadero talk about their experiences and back in the day and so forth. And what was so interesting to me this time, there were people talking about, you know, people in their 80s talking about when they first moved to the county, or maybe they were raised here, but when they were old enough to buy a house and they were so unaffordable.
Right.
I was getting kind of a kick out of that, yeah. Especially in San Luis Obispo was the talk. So we had to move to Atascadero,
where we can afford a home. Because it was a lot less affordable, or a lot more affordable there.
Some things haven't changed. But Atascadero also has their Tent City After Dark, which is so much fun, and actually Tent City in the daytime too. But they reenact the starting of the colony in the 1913 era, and it's pretty fun, and you can see families and small children looking like, wow, you know, this is what it looked like back in the day.
And they reenacted that that rock concert too.
Yes,
it was pretty.
Yes,
I was teasing them because we had the Tent City After Dark folks in last week.
Yeah,
and
it just turned out so well and so much fun. And then of course the big parade.
Right.
So they have their parade on Saturday, and you know, I think they had close to 80 entries and just a lot of fun. So that was last weekend, but this coming weekend is Pioneer Day. Pioneer Day's been going on a long time, and they too have lots of activities that lead up to the celebration. But they have their royalty dinner and their ladies' luncheon and the kickoff and potlucks and so forth. But the parade, October 12th, they've got Larry and Tom Moore, the marshals, and then the Queen, Malene Barlogio Rodford, and then a lot of the attendants to the Queen are younger gals that are part of generational families in the county, and it's just a great tribute to the history of the Paso Robles area, and it's fun to watch the parade. Lots of old cars.
Community
wagons.
Festivals are really, in my opinion, what it's all about.
Oh, it's so much fun.
It is such a blast.
The whole community together, and it's fun to just reflect.
Yep. Even if you're in the downtown park eating beans in Paso Robles,
yep,
or whatever it is, it's always a good time and fun to be a part of.
Yeah.
I know there was not a supervisors meeting this last week, correct?
That is correct.
But there's still a lot going on, you know, a lot to talk about. I know you had the Styrofoam countywide.
Yes. So we had an integrated waste management authority. I know that's a mouthful, but so we call it IWMA, put the acronyms to it. That is a countywide, another one of our JPAs here in the county where all the cities and county come together. It was really created, I think about 30 years ago now, but with the coming of all the regulation on landfills and recycling and all those kinds of things. It was a countywide organization, a regional organization, instead of every city having to hire someone to deal with that.
Right.
This was one body that could kind of work those issues through the entire county. So it's a bigger board, that board actually is the board that enacted the plastic bag ban about, 10 years ago. That was a bit controversial. And now working toward passed a styrofoam ban yesterday. Now, Supervisor Pashong and I were the two dissenters on that. I understand that styrofoam can be a challenge for the waste stream. It can be recycled. This county, we don't recycle, but... And, you know, we all get those big boxes full of those little bead styrofoam blow all over the house and all over the place.
The foam peanuts.
Yeah, the peanuts and those kinds of things that are creating problems. So it's probably a good thing to take a look at styrofoam. But for me, I'm kind of a stickler on how some of these ordinances are written. And the ordinance yesterday, I spoke in public and just said, you know, I'm not sure about this. There are a few things. There are exemptions written in, but they aren't clear enough. The two things that I worry about right now is we get food products from out of the area. For example, when you go to the grocery store, you might buy eggs in a styrofoam egg carton.
Right. We talked about this actually with John Spencer yesterday.
Yes. Or often you buy your meat in a tray
that's
made of a particular kind of styrofoam. I was talking to some folks that work for the meat chicken lobby, saying we're working towards other kind of packaging, but we're not ready yet. If you do this, this might be very difficult for us to be able to sell our product in your county. We don't want that to happen. So I wanted an ordinance that specified what the exemptions were for now. You can always change ordinances as time moves on. And then also the enforcement. And last time we talked, months ago, when we first started talking about the styrofoam ban, it was aimed a lot at restaurants that would send the to-go in the styrofoam. Some restaurants don't do that anymore. They found other materials. But what we found were some of the restaurants that have a lot of saucy foods, the Mexican restaurants, the Chinese restaurants, they depend on that for now until they find something else, something that can hold the saucy foods.
Right. Right now, there is not a good alternative for it.
Right. And so my fear always is when you come in with an ordinance that the punishment is so severe. For example, in this ordinance, you can be fined $1,000 a day. You can have jail time for serving a styrofoam cup of coffee. I'm thinking, whoa. Maybe at the beginning we go a little light on this and work towards enforcement that's a little more strict once we have the kinks worked out. My fear is that you have hardworking small family businesses that have restaurants that don't even know this happened. And seriously, can they be up against those kinds of fines and punishments right at the beginning of an ordinance taking effect?
But it did get passed.
Yeah.
Okay.
So... I hope there'll be a good outreach program for this.
And then I know one of the other things people are talking about is, you know, with recycling is the CRV.
Yes.
It's another thing John brought up the other day.
Right. This is something that is so upsetting to me because back in the day in California, the California Redemption Value Act was passed. We all pay between 5 and 10 cents every time we buy a disposable bottle for a beverage or whatever, whether it's a can or a bottle, or even a plastic container, we pay money, and it goes to the state of California, and that pot is huge. Yet the state has stopped providing these recycling opportunities. Remember when you could go to a little kiosk in the parking lots of every grocery store?
Try to find one now.
They're gone, and there were some private companies that came in to do that work, and what happened was if they can't get paid, then they're out of business, right? So the state of California, we voted yesterday to start writing letters and getting a little more proactive. More recently, a law was passed that says that even the grocery stores, if you've paid your CRV as a customer and you went and bought a, you know, 6-pack of Coca-Cola and now you want your money back on your cans, they have to give you the money back out of their cash register. And we heard from people, smaller little convenience stores yesterday saying, we can't keep this up. And we don't even have any place to store the big bags of recycled.
And they don't have any place to put them either.
No. And you know what's too bad, Andy, at the beginning? I mean, that's a pretty good idea because not only did we, the consumers, were willing to pay the extra money to have the convenience of the disposable bottle that we could take back and recycle easily. That was the idea. But it also helped with cleaning up the litter on the roadsides because those cans were worth something. Those bottles were worth something. Easy to get your money. People would go pick up from the roadside bags of those cans and turn them in.
Not anymore.
When you can't get the return. So the problem really lies in the fact that the recycling opportunities are gone and the state is not operating the program like they should.
Well, it's nice to know that the local level, though, that our county supervisors are at least saying, okay, we need to keep looking at this. We need to write the letters. We need to see if we can't.
We need to get this
going. Kick some people in the backside. Yes.
That's right.
All right. Well, I know we're just about out of time today.
Thank you, Andy.
But thanks for coming by.
My pleasure, always.
I know it's all. We never have enough time to delve into, like I said, and again, I'm not trying to be the Dave Congleton show here where we delve into something and talk about it. It's just kind of nice to find out what kind of things the supervisors are working on right now.
Well, and it's such a great opportunity to be able to communicate with, you know, with all the citizens out there that are driving to work, driving to school, so that they also can hear what's happening.
Hey, if people wanted to find out more, wanted to reach out and have further discussions, what's the best way to do that?
Absolutely. My telephone number at the office at the government center is 805-781-4339.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate
you
stopping by. County Supervisor Debbie Arnold in once in a while just to talk to us just a little bit about what's going on. And I'm sure she'll be back in again very soon. It is 827.